Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey in Queens. Took the train up this morning to New York. Going to watch the, I don't know what to call this, Jay Posner. Jay Posner, sports editor back in San Diego. Padres, Mets. Jay, what do we call this? Which is the worst team? Is it the team with the National League low 40 wins? Or is it the team with the National League low 402 winning percentage?
I don't even know. And it's one of those things where it might rain tonight, it might rain tomorrow. It's like if all these, the Mets got rained out last night, if would anyone notice? I don't know. But I mean, the one thing about tonight since, you know, I think we've gone beyond the point where wins and losses really don't make a big difference in this season. I enjoy watching, you know, the best in baseball work. And thanks to the rain last night, the Padres get to see one of the best pitchers, maybe the best pitcher in baseball this year, in Jacob DeGrom. He's 5-4, which, you know, like 20 years ago, everyone would have said, oh, he only has 5 wins. But he's pitching for this horrible team. He's got a 1.68 ERA. He's got 149 strikeouts in 123 innings, only given up 90 hits in 123 innings. So he's been fantastic, and he's been the only pretty much the only good part of the Mets. I guess Brandon Nimmo and Asdrubal Cabrera have been okay offensively, but as Mark Platt, one of the editors here, reminded me today, he's a huge Mets fan. He reminded me the Mets were 11-1 this year. It's almost impossible to remember that, but they were 11-1, which means they're 29-55 since that point. But remember, they did win 2 out of 3 against the Padres.
Well, they came here at the end of April, and at that point, you know, I mean, you go to the New York media, which, you know, gets this rap as being so hard on their teams. Well, they also get swept up when their teams are doing well. And I remember the New York media, oh, wow, the Mets, they what are they going to do at the trade deadline? And then, wow, they're good. And, well, they were 17-9 when they left here.
Right.
And I think, what is it? Is it now 40-56? So their record is actually worse than the Padres since they left here at the end of April.
Yeah, I mean, they were 5-21 in June. That's very difficult for a major league team to accomplish. They've been better in July at 8-8, but it's to be 5-21, and they're just so dysfunctional. I mean, all this stuff with Cespedes now, and the people.
Familia, and to think that,
right.
I mean, here we are covering and San Diegans are fans of a team that, you know, you lament the fact that they've been sellers for so long. Well, you know, you can at least trust that they're sellers with a purpose right now. But to think that the Mets basically just bagged that one,
right,
and gave away one of the top closers for nothing, I mean, that's fraud. That's fraudulent.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a whole lot of fun being a Mets fan at this point. And the funny thing is, as Mark did remind me today, the Mets were in the World Series 3 years ago. Of course, so are the Royals, and we see where the Royals are right now, so that doesn't necessarily mean anything. But they did. But the Mets shouldn't be this bad. I mean, they have a big market. They're not the Yankees, even though they're in the same market. They don't have the same, you know, obviously the same financial wherewithal, but the Mets should never be in a position like this, and they've just been mismanaged, I guess, from top to bottom, it sounds like, back there.
It's interesting, and I want to get back to your to DeGrom and the fact that you're looking forward to seeing him, and that, you know, being that the team that you're watching most is in a position that you're not like lamenting the fact that they face one of the best starters in baseball. You're actually happy about it. I want to talk about DeGrom and how the Padres beat him. But, you know, why are we spending all this time like talking about these two losing teams? Well, number one, we have a podcast. We cover the Padres. Number two is I always do think it's interesting, and it's really neither here nor there which team is worse. It just isn't. It's ridiculous. But to operate in a vacuum and to know, you know, I guess it could be worse.
Yeah, and also
to at least know your team is again, maybe I don't want to say losing with a purpose, but there's a plan.
Right, and yet if you're a Mets fan, you look at it and you say, well, we have DeGrom and we have Syndergaard, and you talk about things going all wrong. I mean, Syndergaard goes on the DL today with hand, foot, and mouth disease, which he apparently picked up doing an outing at a school. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that happens to San Diego sports teams. But apparently it happens to the Mets as well. But I look forward to – what's that? New York sports. I don't know, something like that. But no, I look forward to seeing a guy like DeGrom pitch. And hey, let's see how the Padres fare against him. I mean, what is Will Myers, you know, who's and Eric Hosmer and all these guys and the young guys, Manny Margot, if he's back in the lineup. Let's see what happens and let's see how they fare. They didn't fare well against him in April. He went 7 innings, 5 hits, 8 Ks, which I actually thought was would have been the under on the over-under on that. You know, no runs, and the Mets won that day. Joey Lucchesi, who did beat the Mets back in April, is starting. We got word just before the podcast that Lucchesi's starting tonight instead of Eric Lauer, assuming that there is a game. So
you brought up DeGrom's overall record. You know, in those 13 games, the Mets are 4-9. He's 2-4. He took a loss in a game. He allowed one run in 7 innings. But the Mets are 4-9 in those 13 games since he pitched at Petco, right? He's only been better then. It's like a sub-1 whip. It's a 1.50 ERA. Like, he is fantastic. Yet the Mets have lost 9 of the 13 games he's pitched. He loses games where he allows 3 runs. That's what happens. So, because they can't score either.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I was looking at their I was looking at their offensive numbers, and they're 13th in batting average, and they're 15th in batting average, 14th in on base, 13th in slugging, 13th in OPS. The Padres, of course, 13th in batting average and 15 dead last in the NL and those other categories. So the Mets are actually last in the league in runs scored. I didn't look to see how close they are to the Padres. They've also played, I think, 6 fewer games. So that
could... Now, here's the interesting thing about the Padres, Jay, is you know, before yesterday, I haven't refigured it since they got 2 hits yesterday. And, you know, Vince Velasquez became, I believe, the 4th pitcher, not counting, well, I guess I should count the rookie for the Dodgers, since his bullpen mates, they closed out a no-hitter. So right. It's the 5th or the 6th time the Padres have gone at least to the 6th inning without getting a hit. So notwithstanding yesterday, in their previous 6 games, of which the opener of yesterday's doubleheader was the first time that they had won, or I should say previous 7, so they went 1-6, they actually were hitting really well for the Padres. It was middle of the pack in the majors, okay? It was upper half in the National League. They, as bad teams do, you can't put it all together. During that time, they had a staff ERA of like 7. So they were hitting okay. They were not getting on base a whole bunch. They were getting home runs. They were getting doubles. They were, you know, their slugging was up. And yet they were losing because at that point then starting pitching was just faltering. And the bullpen, you know, has sort of lost its way.
Well, and of course then they get, you know, that includes 15 hits in yesterday's first game. I mean, there were, I'm looking, 5 guys on the team who had either 2 or 3 hits.
Yeah, but even before that Jay, game, like, it right. was like, it, the thing is that a bad team just can never seem to put it together for very long, at least, where you have your, everybody's playing well. And this team, gosh, honestly, I've racked my brain. I haven't looked to go statistically, gosh, if I missed like a 1 week period, I don't remember there being more than 1 or 2 guys being hot on this team.
Yeah, well, I mean, you would certainly know if you saw it, but
Hosmer was good and other people in June when they were winning, but outside of that, if Hosmer goes bad, which gosh, when was the last time he was good? Honestly, they just haven't been.
And now they get Jacob DeGrom, but then they get who knows what. The Mets haven't even said who their starters are going to be on the latter 2 games of the series. I would Jason Vargas is supposed to come off the DL. The Padres hit him in April. I think it was his first start of the year. Zach Wheeler hasn't been very good. He was originally scheduled to pitch tonight, so we'll probably see a couple guys like that. So there will be a place for that. Now, what are we seeing now in Queens as far as weather, Kevin? Are we looking at potential storms all week or what?
The rain's not supposed to hit till around you know, game time. Okay. But this is the kind of sky where something could blow in. There's blue all over the place, but there's the dark clouds, and it's the East Coast in July. So I wouldn't be able to tell you. Jay, before we close here, let's go. We've got Lucchesi tonight, Lauer tomorrow, Clayton Richard. Let's talk short term, and let's talk somewhat longer term about the Padres rotation, because that plays into something that we do like to talk about, because it at least makes us, at least fills us with a little hope, and that is the future and some of the prospects and all that. So, first thing, Jordan Lyles has one more rehab start than he's expected to come back. Luis Perdomo yesterday, and thank you for saving me. I had zero faith in Luis Perdomo, but on the last podcast, you said,
you,
well,
you wrote him off.
He could laugh.
Yep.
So he'll pitch this weekend against Arizona, and then we'll see from there. But Lyles, Perdomo, how do you fit them in there? And you've got Brett Kennedy, who the other night improved to 9-0 with a 3-something in the Pacific Coast League ERA for AAA. He'll be up before the end of the summer, I think before September. You could be looking at Logan Allen in AA. And now, as I wrote for this morning's paper, when Brian Mitchell, after doing a rehab start, maybe two, Brian Mitchell will be put back in the rotation, barring something unforeseen, to at least give him a couple starts to see if they can salvage some of that $13 million they spent.
I actually don't have a problem with that. I think that at this point, there's no reason not to give Brian Mitchell a couple starts. You know, maybe he figured some things out. I'm sure everybody out there and is saying, well, of course he didn't figure anything out. But, maybe they obviously saw something. Somebody in the organization saw something in this guy. And maybe the time off, maybe whatever, maybe a change in the weather. I don't know. But something, maybe the light goes on, and there's no reason at this point in the season not to give a guy like Brian Mitchell a couple of starts. I mean, I would think
that. And what if he didn't?
What's that?
What if he didn't figure it out, Jay? I mean, like, then you're like, well, what are you going to do? I mean, you could cut him. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? Have him eat up innings at the end? Why do you even have him on the roster if you're not going to at least find out if he can pitch for him?
Right, and so that's the thing. Let's find out. Let's give him a couple starts. If he pitches well, then you found something. And if he doesn't pitch well, then you can do what you were going to do anyway, which is just admit you made a mistake, eat the money, and move on. So, again, no problem with Mitchell doing that. I would expect there would be a opening in the rotation here fairly soon. I mean, Tyson Ross has got to be traded, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, you would think so. And then what makes me wonder, and these are the questions that I've been asking, and quite honestly, I have no answers right now, and that's generally the case. When it comes to trades, what do you really know? But I got to see Tyson maybe packaged with someone, or else, like, what are they really getting back for Tyson is kind of the indication that I'm getting. For someone that's going to rent a guy who's going to, you know, give him six innings for the, what, another 10 starts?
Right.
And maybe the postseason. I'm high on Tyson, and I think this is a guy who can help your team in a lot of ways. But you're not just, you know, you're not renting a 25-homer guy, Manny Machado, you know, already Manny Machado. You're renting Tyson Ross, and I'm just wondering, I'm trying to figure out, like, what do the Padres do? Because they are really only interested in guys at the level of Francisco Mejia. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, maybe there's another guy they could package. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to do this, but they do have, you know, 42 catchers in the organization now or something like that. So you can package somebody like that. I mean, there's any number of people that you could send away. I mean, we've talked about there's very few untouchables probably in the entire organization. You know, let alone just on the major league roster. So it just seems like that would be the kind of guy, the kind of asset that you would want to turn in to some sort of future value, because, and the same thing with, you know, with Kirby Yates. I don't know where things stand with that, but he seems like a kind of guy that could help a couple of teams down the stretch. Of course, the team that Kirby Yates could probably help the most is the team that's 120 miles north of here, but I don't know if the Padres are going to make a deal with the Dodgers, because the Dodgers are a team that could really use Kirby Yates as a bridge to Kenley Jansen. But I'm not saying that's going to happen. It just seems like that's the team that comes immediately to mind. But I don't know if how Preller feels about dealing with a team in the division, let alone the closest team to here.
You know, I haven't asked on that, you know, but gosh, dealing a 31-year-old reliever, setup man.
Hey, will they give the Padres Walker Buehler for him? How about him and Tyson Ross? What do you think? Dodgers are all over that, aren't they?
Oh my God! Hey, I'll keep you updated on the rain. and I'll be writing my stories, and we'll just going to have a lot of fun in Queens tonight. I'm actually looking at the ballpark right now. Cannot wait to get over there to Citi Field.
That sounds great, and we will talk to you later in the week when you make your way, what is it?
Where am I going next?
Northwest to, up to Cooperstown?
Upstate, as they say.
Upstate, so you can, and we will fill people in on that. We'll have plenty of stories this week. I can think of at least four or five off the top of my head that we'll have on Trevor Hoffman going forward into the weekend in the Hall of Fame. And of course, you'll be there this weekend for Trevor, and also Alan Trammell, another a San Diegan that a lot of people may know. We had a good story on him yesterday, so hopefully people are checking that out, and hopefully there's a game tonight, Kevin.
All right, Jay. Yeah, for your sake, because of Jacob DeGrom.
Exactly.
Awesome. Maybe someday Padres fans will be lining up the schedule and going, oh, man, we got DeGrom tonight. We almost escaped DeGrom, and it'll mean something, you know, because you don't want your team to face an ace. But for now, yeah, turn it on and check out Jacob DeGrom.
All right, Kevin, have a good week, and we will talk with you from Cooperstown later in the week.